The title of my sermon is a little bit different tonight, and it's something that you may never have thought about, but I hope tonight what I'm about to say will be a blessing to you, and it'll give you something to turn over in your mind anyway. Here's the question. Why do some miracles take longer than other miracles for us to experience? You know, sometimes a person, for example, is in need of a physical healing, and that person will pray to be healed, and it's just like God heals that person immediately and the sickness is gone. Sometimes another person who loves God just as much will pray to be healed, and they get finished praying and the sickness is still there, and they pray and they pray, and maybe sometimes in that person's life it eventually goes away, but maybe that sickness is not healed until that person gets to heaven. And we wonder, now why is that? Why are some prayers answered? I mean, just as soon as you say amen. Now, we've all had experiences like that where we have prayed and asked God for something, and as soon as we said amen, the prayer was answered. I can remember maybe 10 or 11 years ago when the Astros were making their other postseason run. I can remember this in my mind so clearly. I was driving down the road one day, driving down Spencer Highway, and there was a big playoff game coming up. And I prayed and I said, now, Lord, if it would be your will, I would love to go to that game. And so, God, if it's either your will or it isn't, but if it could be your will, I just pray that somebody would call and offer me a ticket to that game. No sooner had I finished praying that prayer than my phone rang. And somebody offered me a ticket. They said, John, are you free to go to this game on this particular night? I said, let me check my schedule. Yes, I am free. I prayed and the prayer was answered just like that. But do you know, I prayed that same prayer yesterday and nobody called. I mean, nobody called. Now, how do you explain that? It's interesting. I had a friend who got in touch with me on Thursday. And he said to me, he said, John, I have 4 tickets for the game 6 on Friday night, if you would like them. And I couldn't go. I'm behind on 2 booklets right now, and I can't go, but I gave those tickets to 4 people whom I love dearly, and they had a great time. And yesterday when I woke up, I said, now God, they had such a good time at that game. If you would like for them to go again, have somebody to call me that has tickets. And I couldn't go last night either, because I had a wedding, and so I wasn't going to benefit. But I said, Lord, help somebody to call me so I can give the tickets to them. Well, nobody called. So what I'm saying is, it doesn't make sense. Sometimes you pray and you say, God, would you give me this? And there it is, right in front of you. And sometimes you pray and it doesn't seem like anything happens. And so what I'm getting us to think about tonight is, why is it that some prayers are answered immediately, some prayers are answered gradually, some miracles happen just that quickly, other miracles happen over a process of time, maybe in stages. Now, it's interesting, it always has been interesting to me, of the 37 miracles that Jesus performed that are recorded in the New Testament, 36 of those miracles took place immediately. I mean, suddenly. Here's a blind man, Jesus touches him, he can see. Here's a deaf man, Jesus puts his hands in his ears and he can hear. Here's a lame man, Jesus says something to him and he can walk. Here's somebody who's dead, Jesus touches the coffin or calls the person's name and they're back alive again. Here's a lot of people and a little food, Jesus prays and there's tons of food for everybody and there's leftovers. And so 36 of the 37 recorded miracles that Jesus performed in the New Testament happened immediately. But there's this one miracle that happened gradually. And we find it in Mark chapter number 8. And that's what I want us to look at tonight. Mark chapter 8, the one miracle that Jesus performed that happened in stages. Now let's look at this. Mark chapter 8, beginning in verse 22. Then Jesus came to Bethsaida. Bethsaida is a small village. It was a small village in Jesus' day upon the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee. And they brought a blind man to him and begged Jesus to touch him. So Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up. and he was restored and saw everything clearly. Now, isn't that interesting? Here's a blind man. Some say blind from birth. Others say no, he had probably been able to see because he was able to recognize trees. So more than likely, this man had his vision much of his life, and something happened and he lost his vision and he went blind. And he wanted more than anything to see, and so did his friends. And so they brought this man to Jesus, and they said, "Jesus, touch our friend's eyes so that he can see. We've seen what you've done to these other blind people and how you've given them sight, and we're asking you to do the same thing here." And so Jesus did that. He touched this man's eyes, and then Jesus basically said to him, "How are things looking now?" And he said to Jesus, "Well, I can see, but it's not clear. It's not in focus. It's not 20/20 vision. It's not like it's supposed to be." And so Jesus touched his eyes again, and then he could see clearly. Now here's the question, and the only question that I want to raise tonight. Why did this miracle happen gradually? Why didn't Jesus, when he touched him the first time, just do the same thing he had done for these other blind people and give him perfect vision? Why did this miracle take place gradually? That's the question. And the answer to that question is, I don't know. And if you ever hear anybody else teach on this, the answer, if they're honest, is they don't know either. Because there's not a verse in here that says, and by the way, the reason for the delayed healing, the reason for the gradual healing, the reason that this didn't happen all at once is because Jesus was trying to teach lesson XYZ, and that's why it happened this way. That verse is not in there. And so the answer to the question, why did this miracle happen gradually, and why sometimes in our lives, when we are praying for God to solve a problem, when we are praying for God to meet a need, when we're praying for God to make something right, when we're praying for God to intervene, why doesn't God do it all at one time? And the answer to that question is, we don't always know. Now, there may come a day later on when we can look back on that and we say, now I see the reason for the delay. Now I see why that problem wasn't solved immediately. Now I see why that need wasn't met. Now I see why God let me be in limbo, as it were, for a little while. Now I can see it. Somebody has said the providences of God are like Hebrew words. They can only be read backwards. So we don't know the answer to that question, but as I have thought about this, there are some things that we do know. And for the person who is here tonight waiting on God to answer that prayer, to meet that need, to solve that problem, I think these things that I'm going to share to you tonight, at least I hope they will be of great encouragement to you. Let me give you three things just to jot down tonight, or at least to tuck these away in your mind and in your heart. When God seems to be working gradually, or maybe you would even say, I can't tell if God is working at all because I can't see anything happening. Let me give you three things to consider. First of all, sometimes it takes time to see things more clearly. Now, I want to say that again. Sometimes it takes time to see things more clearly. We do know this. After Jesus touched that man's eyes the first time, he was no longer blind. He could see, but he couldn't see clearly. And that's how it is sometimes in our lives. It takes time. Sometimes a person will get saved, as we've seen people saved recently, and they get saved, and in the moment of their salvation, they can see spiritual things clearly. I don't mean they're spiritually mature, but they can just see spiritual maturity. They know that they're saved. They have the full assurance of their salvation. They got saved, and for them it was clear all at once. Sometimes a person gets saved. Maybe they have weak faith, doubting faith, little faith, and they get saved, and it takes them a while to come to the full assurance of their salvation, to understand that salvation is by grace through faith, not by works or anything in us. And so sometimes it takes time for us to see things more clearly. I was thinking about some people in the Bible that I think illustrate and exemplify this point. I was thinking about Noah in the book of Genesis. God told Noah to build an ark. And God said to Noah, "Noah, I want you to build an ark because the sins of everybody has gotten so bad, I can't take it anymore. I'm going to judge the world. I'm going to destroy the world. I'm going to send floodwaters on the world. And I'm going to wipe everybody out except for you and your family. What you've got to do is build an ark. You've got to get in the ark. And if you get in the ark, you'll be safe." Now, it's not clear When Noah built that ark, if Noah even knew what rain was. We know that before sin in the Garden of Eden, there had never been rain because the Bible says God watered the earth from the bottom up. And so it was sometime after Adam and Eve sinned that rain started coming. And with rain came the potential for storms and floods and these things we've seen recently. So when God told Noah to build the ark, Noah may have never even seen rain. And yet God gave him clear instructions. Build a boat. Here are the dimensions. Do it like this. And so Noah did it, and it took him a long time. It took him years and years and years. People thought he was crazy. People made fun of him. People laughed at him. I'm sure Noah even had moments where he thought, now why is it that God is telling me to build this ark? And yet he obeyed. He built the ark. And then eventually he and his family got on the ark. And then the rain came. And then after the rain came, and everybody else was destroyed by the flood, and Noah and his family are sailing above all those waters in that ark, it was clear to him why God told him to do that. You know, sometimes God will tell you to obey him. God will tell you to do something, and it's not clear to you exactly why God is telling you to do that, why God is telling you to obey. But you take that step of faith, you obey and do what God has told you to do, and eventually it becomes clear why God told you to do that. Think about Joseph, also in the book of Genesis. Most of us are familiar with Joseph's story and how Joseph had gone through so many bad things in his life. His brothers had turned on him. He had been sold to the Egyptians or in Egypt, and he had become a slave down there. He had been thrown in prison. He had been falsely accused of rape, and his life just seems to be going from bad to worse. And I'm sure Joseph had long periods in his life where he said, God, why are you allowing me to go through this? It wasn't clear. And yet there came a day when he came out of that prison, he became the prime minister of Egypt, and later on in life, no doubt Joseph was able to look back at his own story and see now and say, now I see things more clearly. Now I know why God allowed me to go through that. I think about the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, probably the greatest Christian who ever lived. Certainly the most influential Christian who ever lived. And he had this thorn in the flesh. We don't know what it was, but he had some problem in his life. And he prayed on multiple occasions for God to take that problem away, for God to remove that thorn, and God chose not to do it. And finally, God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul was able to say, now I will rather boast in my infirmities, that God may be glorified and that his strength may be manifested in me. And so even with his problem, Paul was able to say, now I can see why God allowed me to have this thorn. And so what I'm saying to you tonight is, in all of our lives, sometimes it takes time to see things more clearly. And I think that's one of the reasons Jesus delayed this man's healing. Or he did it in stages. He did it gradually. He wanted us to see that not everything gets resolved immediately like that. Now that's the first thought. The second thought is a little bit different, but it's similar to that. And that is simply this. Sometimes it takes time to receive the fullness of God's blessing. In other words, sometimes God has things in store for you, and you don't know what they are, and you're praying, and sometimes you'll see a little bit, and you'll see a little bit of the prayer answered, and yet you don't really know exactly how this is going to work out, and it just sometimes it takes time for God to give you the fullness of his blessing in your life. And we can probably all think of times in our lives where we've prayed about something and it happened gradually and gradually and little by little, problem didn't get solved, need didn't get met, everything didn't get resolved immediately, but it took time. And sometimes that's how it is with us. Sometimes it takes time to receive the fullness of God's blessing. And then the third thought, and to me this is probably the most interesting of the three, and that is, and this is a wordy point, and I apologize for how I've stated this, and it will be on the screen. But listen to what I've said here. While we're waiting on God to do whatever God's going to do, the most important thing is to enjoy the presence of God right now. Now, that's a wordy, long point, but I want you to hear that again. While we're waiting on God to do whatever God's going to do, the most important thing is to enjoy the presence of God right now. Let me ask you a question. How many of you would say that you are praying about something for yourself or for somebody else, and you're waiting on God to answer that prayer, just raise your hand. All right? That's most everybody. Let me ask you a second question. How many of you would be happy if God answered that prayer tonight? Just raise your hand. Wouldn't that be great? Now, the question is, why doesn't He always answer the prayer tonight? Why doesn't He always meet the need immediately? Well, I've given you two reasons, but listen to this again. While we're waiting on God to do whatever God's going to do, the most important thing is to enjoy the presence of God right now. Now look back in verse 23. I want you to see this. It says, "So Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, 'I see men like trees walking.' Then Jesus put his hands on his eyes again, and he made him and made him look up, and he was restored and saw everything clearly." Now you still listen, say amen. What would have happened if when Jesus touched that man's eyes the first time, his sight was completely and perfectly restored? What would have happened? I'll tell you most likely what would have happened. That man would have said, "Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I could never express my gratitude to you enough for what you have done." And that man would have turned around, and that man would have gone home, and that man would have said to his family, and he would have said to his friends, "I was blind, and now I can see." What I'm saying is, had Jesus healed that man immediately, more than likely, that man would have gratefully received his blessing, and he would have gone on his way. But when Jesus delayed the healing and chose to heal him gradually, in phases, in these two stages, think about this. This man and Jesus ended up having a conversation that they would not have otherwise had. Jesus said to him, "How's it looking now?" And the man said, "Well, it's still not clear." And Jesus said, "Well, come here, let me touch that eye again." So what I'm saying is the delay caused that man to stay in the presence of Jesus longer than he would have had there not been the delay. And so I think so many times in our lives when we're praying about something, and I don't know, this happens to me sometimes, I'm praying about something, and God, this is what needs to happen, this is what I'm praying for, and this is what I wish you would do. And sometimes I just have in my mind, if God would just do what I'm asking him to do, the world would be a better place and I'd be a better person. And sometimes that might be true, but sometimes God says, "No, John, I'm not answering that prayer yet. I'm not going to give you what you think you need or what you want, or how, I'm not going to do this situation," whatever it might be, and you have the same experience. "I'm not going to do this right now because there's something more important than me answering your prayer, and that is my relationship with you." And so what I'm saying tonight to all of us, when it seems like, man, God, you're moving slowly, this situation won't get resolved, you need to consider this. It may be that God is working slowly in your particular case so that as you wait on God, that you will learn not only to wait on God, but that you will learn to wait with God, and that you will come to see that whatever you're waiting on is not as important as what you already have in the person of Jesus Christ. Amen? I've said it many times, I'll say it again tonight. The blessor is more important than the blessing. God Himself is more important than all the things we're asking God to do. And I think sometimes, and I can't speak for God, but I think sometimes God probably feels a little bit used, even by those of us who are truly saved and we're His children. I think maybe sometimes God thinks, are they just coming to me for what I'm going to do for them? Or are they coming to me for who I am? And what we find here in this man's case is the delay, the gradual healing, gave him additional time with Jesus Christ that he wouldn't have had. And so tonight, as you wait on God to fix something, to solve something, whatever, just remember, who you're waiting with is more important than what you're waiting on. Focus on Jesus. Enjoy His presence. Talk to Him. And remember, whatever it is He may one day choose to give you is not anywhere near as important as what you already have in the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so, Father, help us to remember in life that sometimes things don't happen immediately, and they don't happen all at once. 36 out of 37 miracles did, but this one didn't. And I think there was a reason for it, Lord. We don't know for sure, but some of these things I've shared tonight, we do know. And so I pray for that person tonight here who is frustrated, who is wanting you to hurry on up and get this thing going and solve this and defend them or vindicate them or give them a job or whatever it is. God, I just pray tonight that you would help them to focus not so much on what they're praying for, but on the one they're praying to, so that you would become more important to all of us than whatever it is we might be praying for. With your heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, is God doing something in your life gradually that you wish He would do more quickly? That you know He could do more quickly if He chose to, and yet, for some reason, there's this delay? Well, nothing is an accident with God. Everything is done by design. Would you thank, now you may never have done this, but would you thank God tonight for the delay? Thank God that He hasn't answered that prayer yet, or that He hasn't met that need yet. Because if He had, it would have been out of time. It would have not been in His perfect timing. The Scripture says that God has made everything beautiful in its time, but it's not beautiful if it's out of His time. So thank Him right now. I bet you some of you probably never said that to God. God, thank you that things are just going so terribly slowly. Thank you that I can't see this thing working out. Because God, that gives me more time to talk to you about it. That gives me more time to grow in my faith. That gives me more opportunities to develop a deeper love and appreciation for you, even more than whatever this is I'm hoping and praying you'll do. Now, some tonight, you need to be saved. You need to receive Christ. Now, that's one miracle that always happens immediately. Our understanding of it may take time. We won't understand it fully till we get to heaven. But we receive Christ, not over a period of time, but in a moment of time. The Bible says, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so tonight, to our students, to our children, to our adults, if you have never made peace with God by receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, would you just pray this prayer right now? Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, forgive my sins, and make me a Christian. I ask you to save me. I trust you to do it. Lord, I receive you right now by faith. I thank you that I'm saved. Lord, during this next song, give me the courage to come forward, to confess you publicly, and to make this decision known to all. It is my prayer in Jesus' name. And all the people said, Amen.